Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the second program of the Starseed Activation Program with Humanity Healing's Starseeded Souls. And this is the lovely Leonie Leger.
Ta-da!
And this is Christopher Buck, and we're going to be doing a more informal session tonight.
Which is good.
Everybody is in conversation mode, so if you do have questions as we go along, please feel free to ask. And that way we'll do it as we, or answer the questions as they come up as we go along.
So let's start Star Wars. The last chapter, the dark forces. Well, just kidding. But let's start talking a bit about what is actually the concept of a star-seeded soul. Let's start, to understand this concept in its entirety in depth. And forgive me for my accent and my difficulties. My accent makes difficult for the English. Because I'm Brazilian with, Portuguese. It's kind of a challenge. But if you don't understand, Chris can translate the word for, but
we can give it a shot.
Yeah, the concept of star-seeded souls, you can understand through one of the, I would say, the sayings that we have more out there, which is, you are not, human having a spiritual experience. You are a spirit having human experience. This is one concept, and when you think outside the box, you go out and start understanding how the process of, the process of creation or coming from one true source, and how this one true source breaks himself or limits himself down in order to create a variety of beings and different levels of consciousness. And the progress of the way back to the source is through reintegration and the experience of every single level of that creation process. We see that humane experience or humanity experience is one of the levels on, on the levels or one of the instances of stop of a soul traveling through this universe. So what we usually say is we are earthly beings. Yes, all of us are having human experiences. Yes, are all of us purely human souls? Not necessarily. So this is the concept. This is actually a very old concept. This is not a new age concept. And when you talk about star-seeded souls, you are talking about angelic humans. You are talking about indigos. You are talking about out-of-kins. You are talking about the walk-ins. So, this is kind of a lot of concepts to apprehend and put under, the star-seeded concept. Actually, it's not. And when you go through history, not history alone, but especially sacred texts, you have a series of reports in different mystical schools of knowledge and mystical
traditions
that you see that this is a very interesting concept. Of course, they have different names for it. So, for instance, when you have a concept of angelic humans, or you can go back, for instance, on the Old Testament, and one of the books of the Old Testament that got removed, Book of Enoch,
which by the way is not canonical in Western Christianity, but in the Ethiopian Christian Church, it's still considered one of the
basic
official books of their Bible.
But you go to this book, and you have Enoch is the one that put all the classification of angels. But when you go and see what is his concept of angels, he talks about angels of beings that came from heaven, but they came from heaven as messengers. Okay, and then you get this concept and say beings that came from heaven as messengers. So it was any report anywhere else that we have this big group of angels flying down? No. So how those beings from heaven came here? You know, did he know they were not humans? In one part of his book, he talks about the Archangel Uriel that we know very well, you know, for now, the New Age community that, you know, that have the channelings. And he mentions that the skin of Uriel is of a color, that would say, almost gray platinum skin. Okay, that is weird. Have you ever seen a being that is has a platinum skin? And would you classify this being as an angel? It certainly doesn't look like the paintings that we know about it. So, if you look at this aspect, they were star seeds. They were messengers, yes. We still have an influx of star seeds, you know, having human experience on this planet. And actually, I believe for the past 50 years, it's, you know, it has an overpopulation of it. I mean, as we know, or at least it's more mentioned or more commented. So it's not a new concept. About the walk-ins, for instance, you hear, I don't know if most of you know about the concept, the walk-ins. We can talk about it, and then there's actually another book that we just talk about the specifics about walk-ins.
Now that'll also be one of the modules of this program, is specifically the modules. But here's another example in the ancient text. There was in the Hindu tradition.
Yeah, exactly.
Tiramisu.
I just remember the name. Looks like that.
Tirumalar.
Tirumalar. Yeah, I thought it was that. You know, I just remember the name like that. Italian dessert.
And he had it.
Yeah.
There was that he voluntarily left his body to reanimate the body of a young cowherd that had just died, and then lived out the rest of his life in that body, and then came back.
Yeah,
so
he left his body in an act of compassion, because that boy, you know, with his work, he supported his family, and upon his death, the family would also be condemned to death. So, voluntarily, he abandoned his body and entered the body of that boy, you know, because he was dead, reanimated that body in order to continue the karma or whatever, you know, like their concept is, or the work of that body still had here, to proceed and feed the family and continue. This is one of many different aspects of the walk-ins, because the walk-ins in concept is one soul taking the place of another soul that is already inhabiting a body, because according to this line of thought, a healthy body is a bad thing to waste. So if the soul gives up that body instead of committing suicide or giving up, you know, if there is a need and there is some kind of similarity in karma or works or dharma to be done, the souls can, interchange, and before that they make a contract of exchange. And but it is a possibility? Yes, it is.
Is it common? No.
Not necessarily.
There are a lot of, with the New Age teaching, there's a lot of people out there today who come out and say, you know, I'm a walk-in, and it may very well be possible, but it's not necessarily likely.
The reason being is that, like we said before, it's necessary to the body to be physically well and extremely healthy in order to have this exchange. And the reason is, you know, this is a very complicated I would say, a spiritual, it's almost like a spiritual transplant. So what they do, and what the masters, I'm not saying ascended masters, but the masters that are the one that actually facilitate the transportation of one soul to another body, is they have to undo all the nerves, etheric, spiritual, astral connections that are like weave in the tissue, you know, like this big net that was before attaching the previous soul to the body, starting by the three lower chakras.
Well, think of the complexity of like a brain surgery or doing a brain transplant, mm-hmm. except this is with your soul. It would be on a similar order.
Yeah.
I'd say it's a good way to look at it.
But you see, all that, this is not really necessarily a surgery that has even done by the, I would say, the higher plans. There is a high possibility of failure on that transplant, because the soul that's taking in, because the three lower chakras are the first ones to do the replacement, the higher chakras, which is the memory, the remembrance, the way to relate to things, is of the new soul. So you have like, let's just give an example. This person is driving, and this woman, let's say driving, and then she decides, I don't longer want to live. So, you know, the soul's already made a contract, the guardian angels, and like, we're going to have exchange. So they need a excuse. So she has an accident and she goes in coma. While she goes in coma, the souls make the exchange. Then this person wakes up from coma.
And is a different person.
And what happens is, when he wakes up and look at her husband, the soul look at the new soul, look at the husband, look at the kids and say, yeah, you're not my husband, you're not my kids, you know, I'm out of here. I was an accountant, now I want to be a painter. I want to live in, you know, in France. I no longer want to live in Colorado Springs. I'm going to run to France and, you know, start my new life. I don't even know how to speak this language. I know to speak the other language. And, you know, and it creates a chaos. So what means is not necessarily all the transplants, I would say the exchange, are successful. And on this process, again, of the exchange of bodies, the soul on the body, just can be done in healthy bodies. Because if a person has an addiction, let's say, instead of having an accident or something like that.
Well, one of the things we've heard is that people have had drug overdoses and wake up and they're now a walk-in and it's something else. And this is the case that you have to look at and say, I think this is more a question of wanting to change one's life path as opposed to being a new person.
You know, and it's valid. It's valid. It's not, I'm not saying that's not possible. It is. But the soul exchange in itself require a very healthy body, for the simple reason that addiction, you know, disrupt the tissues that connect the subtle bodies. So to implant another tissue there, it's almost like you have a laceration in your skin. You know, you cannot put another skin on the top without healing that laceration. And no team, no spiritual team will, you know, intend to do a surgery of this type if the tissue under there is not healthy. So, but anyhow, going back.
But going back, there are different types of star-seeded souls, and what we're going to cover this evening, if we've covered the types well enough, you think, Leonie, is we'll go back and discuss the Haraline.
Yes.
And what we're doing there. But before we do that, does anybody have any questions on what is a star-seeded soul?
I think we scared everybody.
Are you planning to talk about indigos at all, indigo?
Well, we can talk about indigos.
Later?
We can talk about now, and as far as what an indigo is, and an indigo is a type of star-seeded soul.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Here's the concept of indigos. Where are the indigos? Okay. Let's start again on humans because this is our, you know, common ground. Everybody knows now that we know, everybody there are in the spiritual community knows that a human being can function at least in 12 different dimensions. We are multidimensional beings. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. we have been functioning in just 3 dimensions for quite a while. It's like we continue on 12 dimensions potentiality. But as you come to incarnation, it's like somebody had shut down all your,
Have you heard the terminology like the 12-strand DNA? And what you're thinking about is flipping breakers.
Oh, yeah. Flipping breakers down. So we are, instead of 12, we have this potentiality, but we flip the breakers down and we just got left with 3. And why is 3 dimensions? Yeah. The 3 dimensions because, and you know, in this you go to how, what science talks about our DNA. Our DNA is, they say that we have just 2 strands, which they call the backbone DNA. But actually, what we have is 3 strands DNA. When we come to Earth, we come at least with 3. Why 3? Because to operate in 3 dimensions, we need 3 activated. So, this is how we start. The potentiality is at least 12, even though there are what you call superhumans in different places in this universe that operate from 15 to 24. But this is a work that has to be done in another levels and etc. But going back, what is an indigo? An indigo is a soul that was already operating at least, you know, the indigo can go from 14 to 28 strands of DNA. So it's a soul that minimally was used to, if it was a mediocre soul, was already operating between 12 strands normally. But they come to a world that is completely, you know, alien to them because they have to start not with 12, but with 3.
And this is a person with a greater potentiality, say, but is also, because of that, it is easier for them to activate or reactivate the different strands of DNA and help bring up the overall vibrational frequency,
of
everybody else.
But what it does, you know, and this is a very funny thing, what it does with the indigos is, and why is indigo? It's indigo because their soul has, when you see them through vision, you see a soul that is indigo, they have an overlay of indigo around their auric field. So when they come down, usually they come from higher vibrational plants, higher vibrational situations, I would say.
Realms.
Dimensions, yeah, realms. And they come to third dimension, and everything looks lower, or out of contest, or all too, oh my God, this is so 5 minutes ago. And they cannot stand. You know, it's like...
And how many indigo children have you heard say, oh, this is so 5 minutes ago?
Yeah, oh my God, this is so boring. And they, you know what I mean? And what that does with them is, in the first moment, till they get adapted to the general vibration, they became angry. They become angry. They become the rebels. They become the ones that do not like authority. Because who are you 3-dimensional being, to tell me what to do? You know what I mean? It's like, who are you? So
raising an indigo can be a challenge.
It can, you know, but you see, the good news is the indigos, and when they get very angry, you usually see the first overlay on indigo, and there is a hue, how you say, hue of a terracotta color around it. When they get angry, that hue shows up, but as a protection, because they are also very sensitive. because they're higher vibrational, you know, and that's what they used to. That's how they vibrate outside. They're extremely creative, but depending on the amount and the thickness of the hue thing, they can become depressive. They become extremely inside of themselves, can develop some very not that flattering trends, like being very, I would say, judgmental of themselves, and retract. I just don't want to. I don't want to relate to you. I don't see the fact that I have to interact with you, because you're never going to send me anyhow. So, but this is basically it. You have, now, if the indigo continues on the path and say, oh, now, I know, I'm different. I know that people will look at me, they either will love me or they will hate me. And you're getting peace with this fact that you are different, that your heart follows a different drum beat. If you get in peace with this, and, you know, the world outside does not bother you as much, then you are in the right path. And then you can progress. Yes, you can. You can progress. You will be working on reducing the layer that's blue, thick, indigo, and the hues that you put there, the terracotta, from terracotta to red, and become what you call the crystals. The crystals are the one that knows, and this is a stage that it's supposed to mature, the indigo to mature. I know I am, I know who I am, I know where I came from, and I know my purpose, and I'm continue doing it. And then you get rid of all that, I would say, layers, and you can actually start working. So there is a process. They are star-seeded, yes. Why? Because the origin is not here on Earth. The origin was never, they already started non-3D. They already started on a different level of consciousness. Now you ask, why all those souls are here? All those souls are here because we are so 5 minutes ago that we need all the help that we can get from the rest of the section of the universe to make this transition. You know, Earth counts on us to elevate her vibration in order to make possible for her as a being to carry all the other beings that depend directly of her to this new stage of energy and vibrational pattern. So this is one of them. There are types, different type of souls. Yes, there are different type of souls. There are the blue ray souls. They have, you know, I actually have an entire classification. I don't even know if all of them are really true, or are they just phases of each other, or they are independent things, because usually this material, it comes and goes and fluctuates a lot on, you know, certain schools or certain line of thoughts that we necessarily, I myself don't agree much, you know, because everything I read and everything we study, we try to bring, like, let's see this. This has to be somewhere on the old text. You know, because if it's ageless wisdom, this phenomena had to be registered, you know. There's nothing new under the sun.
That's one of the things that we try to do. We're not a new age group. We're very old school, and what we try to do is bring the information from the ancient text, the ageless wisdom, and bring it to you with the sources, so that if you want to go and check this out yourself, you can. This is where it comes from. It's not something we're channeling, for instance.
Yeah. You know, because, you know, we understand that channeling depends a lot on how you reference things and how you are able to accept, you know, because we always say read channeling, believe it, but that is...
Practice discernment.
Yeah, practice discernment and use the internal observer, because if something that's completely out of the, you know... out of your circle of reality or your values. And I believe that we have everything that we need inside of us, is what I call the internal observer. If there's something that's like, this really doesn't sound right,
there's a good chance it's not.
It is like, okay.
Or it's not right for you.
And I was like, somebody comes tomorrow and say, you know, George Bush, you know, Jr. was the avatar of the new age because he really brought us to a new moment of progress. I say, it doesn't sound right. But, you know, you believe it if you want and just practice discernment. So this is one of the aspects, you know, about the indigo children.
Does that answer some of the questions you had about indigos?
I have a question. And I also heard that it can, they have indigos, some older ones too, but not as many as now, of course, for the kids.
The year, there was a time frame that the indigos were coming.
Okay, they have, you know, different, and again, you have different indigos, which means only, which is a category or so that start operating from 14 to 28 strands DNA, what used to. But all of them doesn't mean that they came from the same place, doesn't mean that they came from the same, with the same purpose.
That's what my question is, actually. I was wondering if you could, like, I'm an indigo, and I was wondering if you had any advice to find out where my star seed community is, so to speak, what star system I came from, because certain things resonate through research I've done, but I didn't know if you had, like, you know, advice.
A way to determine exactly what or what area universe your soul came from?
Yeah, I think you have to ask yourself that, and I will teach you how to ask yourself. I can tell you, I can give you some guidance, because this type of answer, you're not going to find anybody else answering you.
Yeah,
the only person that can answer you is you.
And it really can't. You have people out there that do readings or access Akashic Records or anything like this, but to be honest, that's kind of a personal thing between you and your soul. And it's actually kind of interesting. It's something that's going to be coming up on the Humanity Healing site soon, is we just haven't had a chance to, we've got a lot of material, and we're continually organizing it and getting it put up. But one of the meditations that we'll be teaching down the road a little bit is actually a form of communicating with your soul and how to get into contact and develop a relationship with your soul to ask questions like this. For instance,
it is a very interesting one. I can affirm you, it's the coolest thing ever.
For instance, you know, with human beings, you know, we go back, we go to our higher self, and we go to our monad, is the way the hierarchy works for us. We've got a monad, we've got soul extensions of that monad, and we are an extension typically
of
our higher self, which is the soul extension of the monad. So as you work your way back, you learn, and this is one of the...
And you have a contact with your oversoul, with all
correct.
The knowledge of not only all your incarnations, but the incarnation and manifestations that the consciousness that you under had in this entire universe. And this, any information you want, it will be given to you.
And this is what's interesting. There is the connection between our higher self and our lower self. Okay, it's called the Sutrana. It's the silver cord, and you know, you hear this talked about a lot. There is another connection going back from the lower self up to the higher self. It's called Antahkarana. And this is something that we, as in our physical existence here, as people on the spiritual path, we have to build this bridge back. And some places refer to it as the rainbow bridge. But Antahkarana is kind of the historical name for it. I believe is that Sanskrit or
yeah, it is. Yeah. It's a Tibetan name.
A Tibetan. But what this is essentially is you're building a bridge back to your soul. And whereas the silver cord, the Sutrama, is relatively small in diameter, what we build back is supposed to go back at about the size of your head.
It comes, the Sutrama is the connection between the soul and you, the physical body, and is not bigger than 1.5 inches.
And most of the time it's about the thickness of your thumb.
Yes. So what you need to enlarge this And this is one of the secrets that the people of the secret don't pass to you, that as you open the channel, your way back to communication, you know, your channel communication with your higher self, soul, and God, or whatever name you want to give to the source, this is where the energy of manifestation comes down. It's not happy thoughts. It's not thinking, I'm going to make $1 million at the end of this week. If you don't have the channel open, forget it, honey. The same thing with the questions of the universe. You know, what is my purpose here? What I'm doing here? Where I came from? Where is home? You know, because I don't know how you guys do, but I get, you know, since I understand myself as a person, it's like, where is home?
These are all questions we have, and the way to answer them is to build that line of communication to your higher self back. And it's I'm not putting a plug in here for the Stellar Codes, or it's really good, but what we did is when we introduce into there a lot, and we introduce it, these different techniques in different places, not just there, but are ways to build back that relationship with your soul. And it's through that you're going to be able to answer questions like, you know, where did I ultimately come from?
Yeah, but here's the thing, answer your question. That doesn't mean that because you are an indigo and somebody that was born in 55 is an indigo too, and you were born in 75, you are indigo, you have the same life purpose. It doesn't work like that. You had certain batches of souls like a beehive. They came together because they were supposed to do something together. You know, for instance, you can look at this, and of course there is some differences, but the generation that came and represent the 60s, the 60s here in U.S., for instance, I'm going to say Woodstock and stuff like that, they brought a new, like, peace, not war, love, not hate.
They brought a different vibrational signature.
You know, the flower power. They brought a different vibration. Mm-hmm. They introduced it other concepts, yes, because it's part of duality. You know, drugs of such and such and rock and roll, all right, it's part of duality. It was their way to express. But they changed the vibration. Yes, they did. And so that batches of indigos that did not accept the status quo came with one purpose, quite different from the indigos of 75, or the indigos that were born during the 60s, which the indigos, what you call born during the 60s, I think is from 59 to 67 or 68. It was a big batch to call it the comforters. They were called the comforters, which means not necessarily the ones that will fight, but is the ones that will be there, I would say, being the humanitarians. The ones that will go in the middle of the jungle and say, oh, look, there is this, those people here hungry, let's build this, let's do that. Those are the comforters. In the 70s, to the beginning of the 80s, you have a new batch, which was for the warriors. You know, because it's another cycle, you know, and you need warriors to say, no, are we going to fight this? No, this is not going to be this way anymore. We need a new order. Not a new world order, but we need a new order. This is not something that we're going to accept, you know, abuse or such and such. So you have a new batch of warriors. And then you have the 90s, which is the ones that are starting now, is the new, I would not philosophers, but the new thoughts. Those are the ones that will start rethinking society based on what the warrior said, that we're not going to accept this, for the comforters that said before, this is not acceptable, you know, and you know, it's always a progress in another stage.
And understand also that when a batch of starseeds arrives, it's not like everybody born on December 27th is at this. It's kind of like the bell curve, you know, from grading at school. It's like you've got people at this end, and then it kind of peaks up in the middle, and then it kind of tapers down the other side. But you have a bell curve, and then you'll have other bell curves from other batches that some overlap, some don't, but
they have a logic on the waves of the way in the universe organizes itself. you know, for a new moment. And they're not all incarnated in the same country. So you have, you know, amazingly enough, this guy that's doing the same, you know, research in DNA in Russia, and another one that's doing this in Peru. And it's like, oh my God, we should connect. We came with the same idea. Maybe I have the other part of your puzzle. And this is the beauty of it, you know, the orchestrating, I would say, synchronicity, the orchestrating of the serendipity of the souls that are meant to, I would say, initiate a new stage, you know. So this is, there are batches with different purposes and very distinct, I would say, dharmas or, you know, initiatives and plan of action.
So does that answer your question? Or do we just create more questions? Which
I already knew all that. I guess I would like if you could at some point tell me how to have a little better direct communication with my higher soul. I know the Archangel Michael breathing technique, which I've been using recently, which has been a little bit helpful, but I'm always collecting.
Where I would start with this, and it's you know, we've got this outline in a couple of different places, but there is, first of all, you need to start working with your transpersonal chakras. As a matter of fact, the Hara line, which is what we're covering tonight, actually deals with some of those. But what we do is, and this is one of the techniques that we teach, is the activation of your soul star, which is the chakra about, you know, 6-8 inches above your head. It looks like a little mini sun. And it is through that, what you'll do is you start to activate doing the soul mantra. And then once you're comfortable with your soul star and having it there, you do a process called the triangulation method, which is you'll start moving your soul star, you'll bring it down to see your third eye, you'll bring it in, and then you bring it up to back to where it starts. You're making a triangle, and you do this, and what you're doing is you're clearing out, you're burning away the psychic debris that's there. And you'll work yourself down along the body, you know, coming in at each chakra, then going back up the central channel. And what this does is this sort of opens up the channel and does things. But
you're going to unclog
a lot of stuff of this in the central channel. But this is the first step, truly, in starting to build back that connection to your higher self, and it is done through the soul star.
It's very interesting and it's very rewarding. The soul mantra, you can find, we even have a video about soul mantra.
We do, and essentially the soul mantra is, I am a monad, I am a soul, I am light divine, I am love, I am will, I am fixed design. This is a technique that was taught by, or brought to us by Dwaj Kul, who is sometimes referred to the Tibetan, to Madame Helena Blavatsky.
And then afterwards to Bailey.
It went to Bailey, and this has been done by numerous people through theosophy and on up into the modern time.
World. So this is a simple technique. When you activate your soul star, you have to visualize the soul star as a sun that's activated, and it's, you know, orange, brilliant, and do it slowly, and especially before you go to bed. You clean up, do very slowly as you bring down. Don't do it fast. Don't bring down. Don't visualize bringing down fast, because as you go and transport from the almost 6 to 8 inches above your head to your third eye, you burn the debris, and not only psychic debris but karmic debris, in all your meridians, which are the interconnections of your etheric body, your other subtle bodies, your astral body, and your physical body. So as you move it, you clear up all your auric field, all your bodies. And this is important, because as you build back the connection with the divine, you are rebuilding your body in 5D, which is essential to be worked in if you want really to do ascension. You have to build your fifth, at least your fifth body. And the only way to do it is to the purification or the transmutation of the blockage that you have in the physical body. This is the body that you have control of. You know, it's not only eating healthy foods or making your body healthy, but also burning any single blockage that was built, not only because you live in the 3D world, but built by, you know,
well, we,
succession incarnations.
Yes, we also have karmic debris that's built up in our energetic bodies. Now, if you go up to the on the website, if you go up to the Online Resource Center, and you, where we have these particular techniques is over in the Online Research Center. You can go to the Stellar Code section, and we've got a part of that which is pre-attunement and initiation procedures and ebooks. And I believe it's either activating your pineal gland or it's the resetting your energetic template. Both of those are ebooks that you can access through the Online Resource Center. And as a matter of fact, I think both of them actually mentioned the triangulation method,
yes.
But one goes into a little bit more detail, and I just don't remember which of the two that is.
Yeah, but... you know,
and that's your step-by-step.
But it's very simple. But going back what you said before about the techniques in itself, what you need to know first is... Of course, everybody asks us the same question. How deep in the, you know, on the rabbit hole you want to go? Because once you open your soul star, because it's like your higher self is just on the other side of the door, just waiting for you to make a little knock to come in. And once you open, you go to an entire different experience, an entire different perspective, and how you see life. And it is a life journey. It's very rewarding, but sometimes can look crazy. You know, it really can. It really can. And
So there is a little bit of that, how deep down the rabbit hole you want to go.
Yeah.
But have we answered the question?
Definitely. Yeah, and no, I really appreciate you referring me to the resources.
That's what we're here for. Getting you to the resources is really what we want to do.
Well, but you do have the video. We have a video called The Soul Mantra that you can get on YouTube that has it all step-by-step down.
We're working on a video for the triangulation process that will be for the people of the online university. We're not going to put... I don't know if we're going to put that out for everybody yet. We haven't figured it out yet. But that in those two books there is that method for the, and that's where I would start. Now there's lots of other techniques out there and this is one of the things that we're doing, and we're bringing out new things. For instance, once you start working with sacred geometry, that's another
aspect
and substrata that you can work with. But really, when it all boils down to it, the thing to do is to make the connection with your soul star first, because that's your access point. And that's really what's going to make the difference.
That's your password. You know what I mean? It's your password to access everything. You know, we need the soul star the same way we need another transpersonal chakra, which we call the earth star, which is below your feet, which is the chakra that, when activated, keeps you grounded. And it's necessary for you to have a fully experience as a human. And then when you see different, I would say, meditation techniques to teach you mindfulness, if every technique of that is an intention to activate this chakra so you can be aware. And this is where you have other schools or other philosophers say, stay in the now. All you have is a present moment. Those are all the same, different words for the same thing, mindfulness.
It
activation
is.
Of your core, the earth star, which is your grounding.
It's very interesting if you go back through all the different esoteric traditions. at a certain point, they merge. They're all teaching many of the same things. Now, they might do a little different procedure because the person that developed this school or whatever is a little, you know, it's a different person.
They had a different filter.
But the underlying truths behind them are the same, and that's what really gets interesting when you go back and you start studying the past and the ageless wisdom, is how much these different schools all come together. For instance, there are meditative techniques that you will find in mystic Christianity, mystic Islam, which is Sufism, mm-hmm. mystic Judaism, which is Kabbalah, and mystic Buddhism. And as a matter of fact, the names are very similar. You can see where they kind of all came from the same place. So it is very fascinating. There is one other book I'll point out while you're looking in that same area. It's Awakening of the Internal Divine Stars, and that's a very good one. And we talk about these transpersonal chakras there also. Notably, you've got your soul star. We've got your earth star, and what we're doing is the connection or the line between those two is your Hara line. Your seven physical chakras are on the central channel. That's another line, okay? The next layer out, the Hara line, connects also to the physical body through the Tan Tien. But that's another layer of chakras, you know, one up, one out, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I have one.
And that's one of the things, it's like when we talk about starseed activation, one of the things you want to do as a starseed is figure out who you are and where you came from. That's the burning question for every starseed. And which is what we talk about. You know, you activate your Hara line, but essentially what we're doing there is we're activating our core star and we're activating our soul star. And it's through those that we expand out in both directions. Which, you know, if for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction, that's fairly common physics. You know, as we extend upwards to the cosmos, we also need to extend downwards towards Mother Earth or towards grounding. It gives you a base, if that makes sense. You know, we have a root chakra, we have a crown chakra, all right? And it's working through those that we develop our energetic physical body here. We've got a core star, we've got an earth star, and it's through those that we develop the next level up.